May I have your attention, please? May I have your attention, please? Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Sonny Israel, but Benjamin Alexander Hawk, and I'd like to start you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services. May I have your attention, please? Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Sonny Jacob Yap Hawkins, and I'd like to show you forever as a priest signing very soon. It's a privilege and an honor to present to you the sons and daughters of Yisrael Benalentine Sanctuary. I'd like to turn to our first speaker, future priest of Yisrael, Odeya Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yah be with each and every one of you. Today, my title will be, You Must Get Their Names Out of Your Mouth. And for our first scripture, if you'll please turn to Psalms 16:4. Psalm 16:4. Their sorrows are multiplied who seek after gods. We offer not their blood gifts. We do not say their names. The book of Yahweh, or whatever version you may have, pastor has checked all of them, and they still have the names of God's Elohim. Do not honor the gods. Don't serve them. The King James Version and some of the others add the words of God's Elohim. If you'll please turn to Genesis 3:5 on page 2. And it says, He who commits, for he knows that the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be as God's Elohim, knowing righteousness and evil. Did you see that? Evil like the gods. Satan and the gods, and all of their deceived people out in the world, all say the words of God's and God's Elohim. And Yeshua spoke about this too, in Yochanan 8:44. And it says, You are of your teacher who is Satan the devil, and whatever she who is your teacher desires, you will do. She was a murderer from the beginning and remains not of the truth, because there is no truth in her. Therefore, when you speak her falsehoods, you speak her words, because she is a liar and the teacher of all lies. Now if you'll turn over to 1 Yochanan 3:4. And it says, Whoever commits sin transgresses also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. Now if we'll look to verse 7 and 8. Little children, let no man deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. He who commits sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of Yahweh is manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And with that, no. So get the names out. So get the So get the names of God's Elohim out of your mouths and reverence Yahweh. And with that, if you all please stand. I'd like to turn it over to Son of Yisrael Abel.
Son of Yisrael Abel, the great deacon by Buffalo Hawkins. Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Today I just want to cover something that pastors covered before, and about how the Catholic Church and Satan is trying to destroy all the holiness from the people. And prophecy shows that Satan's hatred for Yahweh's house would be at its most intense peak in these last days because of the work that Yahweh's house is doing under the inspiration of Yahweh. For my first scripture, if you'd please turn over to Matithiah. Matithiah chapter 5, because Yahshua tells us that we're going to be persecuted. Matithiah chapter 5, and let's look at verses 10 to 12. It says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of Yahweh." It's on page 731. It says, "Blessed are you when men will revile and persecute you, and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. From the same manner they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The great work that Yahweh is inspiring his house to do is to preach and publish his 613 perfect laws of love and concern for all. Also, our job is to reveal the sins that the world is committing. In Matithiah chapter 24 and verse 14 says, "And this message of the kingdom will be preached to all the world by the one who bears witness to all nations, and then the end will come." So as a result of this great work, Yahweh's people are able to come out of the Satan-inspired beastly system of deception that this whole world is now under. And a very familiar scripture. Please turn over to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, and let's look at verse 9. It says, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. She was cast out into the earth, and her angels were cast out with her." In Matithiah chapter 24, it also complements the scripture. Matithiah chapter 24. On page 752, and verse 5 says, "For many will come against my name, saying, I am anointed to preach salvation, and will deceive many." And remember, that was formally translated, traditionally translated, as Sino D says, traditionally translated in. But the Greek dictionary, word number 1909, shows that this word is correctly translated against. These people are coming against the words of Yahshua. So, this great work, as a result of this great work, Yahweh's people are able to come out of the deception that this whole world is now under, and they are able to come to perfection by turning from sin. Yahweh's plan of salvation for mankind is now being fulfilled because of the work Yahweh's house is doing in these last days under the direction of Yahweh's Spirit Holy. The last remnant of the family who Yahweh is creating is now developing the same perfect and righteous character that Yahweh himself has firmly chosen. But this has to be our choice. They will always choose to do righteousness rather than evil, despite the influence of Satan through trials, temptations, and persecutions. The persecution and hatred Satan displays against Yahweh's house are prophesied to be at a peak in these last days, because Satan knows that her time of rulership is short and that the kingdom she stole will be taken from her and given to the saints of Yahweh who come to perfection by overcoming sin. The house of Yahweh has been suffering persecution for a while. And the persecution that Yahweh's house is suffering at this time and has previously been suffered, was also suffered by those of Yahweh's house who came before us. All the prophets, starting with righteous Abel, and all of Yahweh's chosen servants, which includes Yahshua Messiah, the prophets of old, and the apostles, they have all suffered at the hands of sinners who under the influence of Satan hate Yahweh's laws. Remember, Yahweh's laws is shown to be light. That's the light that all this world needs. Please turn to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11 on page 795. Actually, let's look at page 796. And let's look at verses 49 to 51. It says, "For this reason, the wisdom of Yahweh also said, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they will kill and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets, which was shed since the foundation of the world, may also be required of this generation, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who died between the altar and the sanctuary. Truly I say to you, it will be required of this generation." Also in Hebrews chapter 11, known as the faith chapter, it also talks about the persecution that the people of Yahweh went through. If we look at verses 26 and 27, it says, on page 950, it says, "Esteeming the reproach of a saint greater riches than the treasure in Egypt, for he was looking to the recompense of the reward. Motivated by the faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for as though seeing the invisible one, he endured." And let's look at verses 36 and 37 on the other page, page 951. "And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawed in two, they were tested, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, and cruelly treated." And if you go on, it talks about some of the things that saints of Yahweh went through. But Yochanan chapter 3 and verse 20 says, "For everyone who practices evil hates the light, and neither comes to the light for fear his deeds will be exposed." And Satan's tactics in this persecution have always been the same. People have also been asking if there's going to be another killing of the saints. If we look at this, this is from the 2015 calendar, and it's one of the signs that was seen. It says, "A message straight from Yahweh to his house against revenge of any kind. Yahweh sent us a message this week. Yahweh is alert to everything that's going on." This was from a sermon dated from 02/08/2014. It says, "There was some snow and ice. Now one of the loving women that we have went to get a person to take her to get a meal. Probably a big bowl of chili. So she got there and this thing was slick, so she went back and got some salt and threw it out to thaw the ice. Now this was where salt was scattered over ice, real snowy ice, real white snowy ice and snow, and lo and behold, here were Hebrew letters lined up, just like someone had written them." But this word is the Hebrew word kodiah, and the English dictionary, the Hebrew, Aramaic, and English dictionary by Marcus Jastrow, volume 1, page 425, shows the meaning of this word is, "Even if a sharpened sword is laid on one's throat, one must not despair of praying for divine mercy." Pastor says, know that Yahweh knows what you need. And you've got to get that in your head. And trust in Yahweh that he is preparing you for the future to be a part of his kingdom. The second letter is quoting Deuteronomy 6, verse 7, "That the words of the law be ever ready in your mouth." Now the law teaches you don't revenge, don't hold a grudge, don't hate someone, don't hate a person. The system is what is wrong, the system of God worship that Satan talked Eve into. This is the thing that you've got to guard against. The next one, to be well studied, ready at hand. He recited his lesson well. "Study to show yourself approved to Yahweh, ready at answering questions, well-versed, quick to perceive that the words of the law may ever be ready at your mouth. The last paragraph here says, this is what is in sign for us. Now, this is meaningful right now. Don't be revengeful. Be like Yahshua. Your will be done, not my own. There is no place in all the scriptures that teaches you in these last days to bear a sword or bear revenge or bear a grudge, to be hateful and envious, evil with your brothers and sisters. There's nothing that teaches you that in the scriptures. For my last scripture, if you'd please turn back to Matithiah. Matithiah chapter 5 and verse 12. It says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for greatest is your reward in heaven. For in the same manner they persecuted the prophets who were before you. That's all the time I have at this time. If you all please stand, I'd like to turn over to the next speaker, Son of Israel, Abel Deacon Tekoa Hawkins.
All right. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. So my title today is going to be about how we can learn to love and study Yahweh's laws, but not just read them, not just study them, but also understand them, you know. Our goal here is try to learn to love Yahweh's laws. So let's say if somebody comes up to you and they asks, "Is it a law to study? How come people tell us that the priests and stuff? How come they tell us it's a law to study Yahweh's laws? How is it a law? You know, where does it say it's a law?" So if we can go ahead and turn over to Isaiah 34 verse 16 with my first scripture. On page 551, so chapter 34, verse 16. Search out the book of Yahweh and read. Not one of these things will be neglected, for it is written, Yahweh is the shepherd. They shall not want, for his mouth has commanded it, and his spirit has gathered them. So right there it talks about reading the scriptures. So that right there is an actual law that we are obligated to read Yahweh's laws and his scriptures. Let's see here. So if we would take just the, you know, whether it be 15 minutes a day, 20 minutes a day when we get home from work or school or something like that, if we can just take that little bit of time, whether it'll be 15 minutes, 10 minutes, or 30 minutes, you know, we can just set that time aside that we can study Yahweh's laws and his scriptures, you know. One verse at a time, that gives us plenty of knowledge that for us to study. You know, one verse we could spend 15 minutes on studying and understanding what that verse means. So, you know, a lot of times it's very difficult for us to study. You know, we don't understand how and why it's so difficult for us to study. Well, in Daniel, it talks about knowledge will be increased, and it's going to be there's going to be plenty of distractions for us in order to learn to study and love to study, such as, you know, cell phones, video games, television. You know, I mean, there's just there's probably about 100,000 different things that's going to sidetrack us in study, whether it be another book that's doesn't have anything to do with Yahweh's laws or anything like that. We just need to take the time to study Yahweh's laws and learn to love Yahweh's laws. So if we can go ahead and turn over to Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. It's found on page, it's on page 684. So Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. But O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book to the time of the end. Many will run to and fro, and knowledge will be increased. So so right there at that last part, it talks about the knowledge will be increased, whether that be, bombs, airplanes, you know, cars, you know, television, just anything that's going to sidetrack us. You know, Satan's created all these different things for us to be sidetracked in our scriptures and in our reading and our understanding. Let's see here. Okay, so when we're going over a certain scripture or something, and we don't understand it, we don't necessarily understand the scripture. You know, the last few weeks we've been bringing out about what exactly it means to study our own way and not taking what the priest taught us or Israel Hawkins. You know, we have to also use the teachings that the priest give us and not just use our own. You know, we can't try to come up with our own definitions of what Yahweh is trying to teach us. You know, the only one that can help us understand Yahweh's laws is Israel Hawkins. We have to go off of what he teaches and what he practices, not what we believe. Okay, praise Yahweh. Over and over and over, we've been told since the 80s that the knowledge will be increased. You know, we didn't have necessarily little cell phones that we can carry around and, you know, commit sin on. But now, it's 2017, we have all kinds of distractions and, you know, from 2017 all the way back down to 2007, we've had cell phones that sidetrack us and sidetrack our knowledge from what we've been taught. So we just have to take the time to put down our cell phones, turn off the television, just understand that doing that's not going to get us into Yahweh's kingdom. What's going to get us into Yahweh's kingdom is studying and reading the Yahweh's scriptures. Satan's just going to try to influence us any way she can. You know, whether it be, we're driving down the road and we see a billboard and it distracts us, you know. We could change our whole entire lives off of seeing a certain ad. You know, we could decide to move to a different state, get a new job, and we'd completely forget about Yahweh's house and Yahweh's last day's witness. Okay. So the desire to sin is with us, but we must overcome it. And that's, I believe it talks about that in Genesis, so when we're trying to, let's say we get home from work and we decide to, read an article on our phone and we decide to go and look at that article, and 4 hours later we end up studying on an article about the news and we completely forget about our scriptures and, you know, what we had planned to study that night. So we just need to remember that. We have to study Yahweh's laws in order to understand them. You know, knowledge is the only thing that we need. And we also have to take that knowledge that we gain and practice it in Yahweh's house. So, if we can go and turn over to Matithia, verse 33. Okay. So here in verse 33, Matthias chapter 6, verse 33, "But seek you first the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you." So, you know, the things that we want right now, whether it be, a brand new house, all these different things that we could want right now, that's not important to us, because in the kingdom, when we take this knowledge that we've gained and we use it to our advantage to help us get in Yahweh's kingdom, we also have to understand, how is that going to help us if we want all these things right now? Well, what we want right now, that is not important. We have to learn that these things will be added to us. Not right now. You know, it's not said that we're going to get all these fancy things if we come join the house of Yahweh. We have to take these things that we've learned and practice them in Yahweh's laws. And we have to understand those. And these things will be added to you. Okay. If we can go ahead and let's go ahead and turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Let's see here. All right. So here in verse 15, "Study to show yourself approved to Yahweh, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, the laws and the prophets." Right here it says, "Study to show yourselves approved." That doesn't necessarily mean that we just come to services for a couple hours and, hey, we're fine. We're fine until the next services. That's not what it includes. That's not what that scripture means. It says study to show yourselves approved, whether you study once a day, twice a day, three times a day. It doesn't matter. We just have to know that just coming to services every other week or every week is not going to get us in the Yahweh's kingdom. We have to practice this at home. It's not about what we do at the sanctuary. It's not about what we do on Yahweh's feast grounds. It's about what we do off the sanctuary. You know, we have to practice this everywhere we go. Let's see here. Okay. Okay, so if we can go and turn over to Isaiah chapter 1, verse 20. It's found on page 530. Let's see here, so 120. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of Yahweh has spoken. So if we refuse and we rebel the message of Yahweh that's being brought out in this last generation, and that, you know, because we haven't been able to be taught these things in over, you know, 6,000 years because of mankind in the Catholic Church has tried to take away these things. You know, Satan will do anything she can to deceive our minds into keeping us from Yahweh's laws and Yahweh's house. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. So what exactly does that sword mean? Does it mean that you know, we're going to be cut off by a sword? You know, no, that's not necessarily what it means. If we don't, if we refuse and we rebel Yahweh's message in this last generation, you know, we're not going to be able to make it into Yahweh's house. That's going to be taken away from us. That opportunity is going to be taken away from us. We're not going to have that first opportunity to make it into Yahweh's house. So if we can just remember to learn to study Yahweh's laws, whether it's in the day, in the morning, whatever time we have, whatever extra spare time we have, if we can just set that time aside and just learn to study Yahweh's laws and the scriptures that he's brought forth, because it took thousands and thousands and thousands of years for Yahweh and his prophets to bring forth this message, and we have to understand that. So if we can just remember to study Yahweh's laws, you know, whatever's distracting us, make sure we take that out of our lives, you know. Whatever's keeping us from keeping Yahweh's laws and studying Yahweh's laws, we have to remember to take that out of Yahweh's house, or out of our lives, and study Yahweh's scriptures. And with that, if you may all please stand, I'd like to turn it over to the great deacon, Yisrael David.
Hello, everyone. Please be seated. Seems like all the sermons today are going along the same trend, and that's great, because the Feast of Passover is coming up soon. We got the Feast, the Yahshua's Memorial approaching, and we need to be working on getting the sin out, getting the leavening out, and that leaven is what makes us puffed up with pride, you know, to where we can't listen to Yahweh, or we refuse to listen to the teachers or the people who are sent by Yahweh, and we got to work on getting that out. We don't want to become like the gods. We want to be a perfect bride for Yahshua when we are joined to him at the marriage supper. Now, if you'll turn over to Yaakov on page 955, Yaakov chapter 4, or 3 rather, Yaakov chapter 3, and verse 13, it says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his righteous conduct, by works done in the meekness, humility that comes from wisdom." Remember, humility is the opposite of pride. We have to get rid of the pride and work on being humble. So we got humility that comes from wisdom. And and wisdom, as we learn from Proverbs, is the reverence of Yahweh, is the foundation of wisdom. So we, in order to be wise, in order to get the pride out, we have to work on reverencing Yahweh, worshiping Yahweh. "So if you have bitter rivalry and strife in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where rivalry and strife are, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that comes from above is first pure, then peaceable, So we have peaceable here. We're trying to generate peace in the house of Yahweh. We're trying to get rid of war. We're trying to stop all war. So it's peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated. Now that easy to be entreated there is huge. It's huge. What does it mean to entreat? To entreat means to earnestly, and this is from a dictionary, the dictionary online, dictionary.com. It means to earnestly ask for something or to pray. So if we're all trying to be easily entreated, that's really interesting. We're trying to be people who other people can come to and earnestly ask for things and can pray to us. Now, Pastor, in quite a few sermons back, he talked about how when we serve each other, when we're working on not being rulers and, you know, boss people that, you know, tyrants and things like that, we're working on becoming servants, serving each other. And when somebody asks us for something, they're actually making a prayer of us. They're making a prayer from us. So it's really interesting that this word is used here, easy to be entreated, because when you go to the cafeteria, you're praying to the person at the window, can I get, you know, a 301B? Can I get a cheeseburger? You know, you're making a prayer. And then they are acting as Yahweh to you and providing you with that cheeseburger. So praise Yahweh. So we're all working as Yahweh to each other and asking things of each other and serving each other in return and working just like the kingdom of Yahweh would. So easy to be entreated. So the opposite of that would be somebody who's, you know, I don't know if I want to ask that. Look at his, you know, he seems upset today. I don't really want to ask him anything. Or, you know, I don't get along very well with that person. He rubs me the wrong way because he's always upset. You know, or he always, every time I ask him something, he yells at me. I don't like that. That's the opposite of being easy to be entreated. Now and then, sometimes we need to work on tolerating people that we don't seem to get along with. We need to try our best to go out of our way to entreat them and make them feel better sometimes. That helps. So we're all working to serve each other. So easy to be entreated, full of mercy and righteous works. And this mercy, as Pastor talked about, it's not, you know, oh, you sinned, but that's okay. You know, it's okay that you sinned. I'll let you keep going. Or you keep sinning. No, it's when you see somebody sin, either you report it, or if you're in the position to teach them, you teach them what they're doing is wrong, praise Yahweh, so that they can overcome that sin. That's true mercy. Not the Catholic Church mercy of just letting them do as they please and, you know, whatever feels right in their heart. But no, actually teaching them so they can overcome their sin and, you know, live forever. That's true mercy. And righteous fruits without partiality and without hypocrisy. So the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace, notice, by those who make peace. Peace isn't just going to happen. It's by those who make peace. And hopefully we're all learning, you know, the peaceful solution so we can learn how to make peace. Because Yahweh's raising a house, a group, a kingdom of leaders here. People who will be leading the entire world, and we need to know how to make peace. We're actually creating, generating peace by doing the right thing. So peace comes through practicing Yahweh's laws. And here in Yahweh's house, we're not only learning to keep the laws, but to teach the laws, to lead with Yahweh's laws, and we're learning to love the laws. That's what the 144,000 priesthood is for, to teach, love, and spread Yahweh's laws. It's one thing to be able to keep the laws. That's great. That's fine. But it's even better, and what we're working towards in the house of Yahweh is to teach the laws, to love the laws and spread the laws. Praise Yahweh. So the laws of Yahweh, Pastor said before, they can be broken down into two main categories, the laws that teach you how to love and worship Yahweh and the laws that teach you how to love and serve your brother. So, and all those work together. If you're serving your brother, you're showing love to Yahweh. And if you love Yahweh, you're showing love to your brother. And you're showing love to the entire world. You're keeping it safe. So there are some things that we need to really, really work on. And that's the way we speak to one another. You know, it's really, really, really simple. But the way we speak to one another, it takes, you know, huge strides in the right direction if we do it properly. So tact. Tact is something that's really simple, but it can, you know, it can make a big deal of difference. You know, say, for example, you're on the job site and, you know, a brother drops a tool. Oh, so I see you don't show any respect for Yahweh's possessions, huh? Sure, you got your point across, but was that showing tact? Was that showing any concern for the person who accidentally dropped the tool? No. it'd be much simpler and much more tactful to say, hey, brother, you dropped something. Or did you know you dropped that? And they'll turn around and pick it up, praise Yahweh and thank you, and everybody feels great. You know, so it's the way, it's not just what we say or what we're trying to get across, but we have to think about the little things that we say. Even if we might be having a bad day and we really want to just point somebody's fault out, no, we need to think about it and work towards making it easy for that person to overcome. So that's one way. That's by showing tact and respect through our speech. And you know, you have to have thick skin to be in the house of Yahweh. It's true. Praise Yahweh. And, you know, because Satan does so many things. You know, we could write a book in the kingdom. Maybe we'll have a book of the stories of people who, you know, are called to Yahweh's house and the things, the crazy things that Satan put them through to get here. You know, so Satan does a great job of making it difficult. And, you know, we shouldn't be out there the ones throwing fiery darts at each other and trying to poke through their thick skin. You got to have thick skin, but we got to work on making it easy for each other to overcome. You know, no, none of y'all, praise Yahweh. We weren't called here to go out of our way and be that test to somebody. You know, Satan does a great job of that herself. So let's work on making it easy to overcome. But, you know, I got to give it to the new people. When they come here, you know, they've been through all this stuff that Satan put them through, and then they're expecting to see a group of perfect, peaceful people. And that's great. It's great that they think that, and it's great that we're all striving for perfection. But they get here, and man, in the first week, I got yelled at and screamed at. I froze in my trailer. What in the world is going on? Well, they'll learn that we're all working together to overcome. And the same problems that you're coming out of the world with, 100 other brothers also came, and sisters also came out of the world with those same problems, and we're working to overcome them. You know, and then, praise Yahweh. And then, you know, we got to realize when people come out of the world, when they're new here, it's sort of a culture shock. You know, they come out of maybe living a city life, taking the bus to work every day, and then they come here, it's freezing cold. Today we're going to be working at the chicken house, you know, we're going to be plucking chickens. I'm going to be what? Pulling feathers out of a bird? Yes, we're going to be plucking chickens today, and then that's the cafeteria over there. At lunchtime we'll go up there, they're walking to the cafeteria, all of a sudden they get surrounded by a bunch of people. You're in the women's section! There's a women's section? You know, so it's just a culture shock, and it's really easy for us, you know, we're here every day, and we're just used to it, and we kind of just get the zeal of trying to urge one another onto righteous works, maybe. And we you know, kind of push forth towards people, and they say, a good morning or something. You blaspheme the name of Yahweh. And I know it's funny, but this is really how people feel when they come out of the world to the house of Yahweh, and it's a culture shock. So we have to work on tact. We have to work on being, you know, respectful to these new people. And Yahweh, praise Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. You know, and Yahweh, we have to realize, Yahweh looks at the potential that people have. Pastor also looks at the potential that people have. You know, somebody can come here, they put in a position, and you look at them like, I could do that so much better. Why is that person in that position? But then if you look at it, pastor's looking, and Yahweh's looking at the traits that they have that they can build. Sometimes they might really need to work on those traits and develop them and build them, and that's why Yahweh has them there. Work with that person and work towards helping them to be that person Yahweh wants them to be. Praise Yahweh. So that's we need to work on that. We need to really work on that, and by Yahshua's memorial and Passover, we can be a lot closer to that perfection that Yahweh wants in us. And then there's also, you know, the study, like Tekoa before me talked about, so I'm not going to spend too much time on it, but the study, we really need to study. And we can't just grab a book and open it and read it and expect to be able to understand it. We have to come to the classes. Because like the brother said that Philip was talking to, how can I study and understand without a teacher? Well, the classes teach us how to study. If you come to the classes, you're reading the Mark of the Beast book. Kanye, did you said to read the Mark of the Beast book? You're reading the Mark of the Beast book. Lemudia class was explaining the Mark of the Beast book. Now we're in the Global Warming book. You're reading the Global Warming book. Lemudia class will teach you how to study the Global Warming book. And the women have the same books and booklet classes that teach you how to study and study properly. So you can learn what you're trying to study. And that's what the sermons do. Pastor sermons do the same thing. So study and back it up with the classes. You can't have one without the other. So, and then that Mark of the Beast book. I want to close on this point. Why did Kanya Didya harp so much on reading the Mark of the Beast book? And why did Pastor harp so much on reading the Mark of the Beast book? If you go back and look at the Mark of the Beast book, Pastor's trying to teach us the plan of Yahweh. The Mark of the Beast book has the plan of Yahweh from beginning to end laid out. I mean, not every little tiny detail of it, but pretty close. And it lays it out as the foundation. And if you can understand the whole plan of Yahweh, all the other teachings of the house of Yahweh will stack up on top of it and build a beautiful picture, the whole picture in your mind. That's why the Mark of the Beast book is so important. Praise Yahweh. But that's what I really wanted to cover. Showing love to Yahweh by studying, getting the knowledge, and showing love to one another by watching our words and our conduct to one another. And by doing that, we can be this perfect gem that Yahweh can work with. So if you'll all please stand. Thank you for your time, and I'd like to turn over to the great Deacon Ahia Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom. You all may be seated. Of course, it's an honor and a blessing to stand before the saints of Yahweh. Just going to share a little dessert here today. Got to go quickly. It's a sprint session. In the last few days of 2017, as I was about my daily chores and struggling within my mental thoughts, you know, struggling to really overcome, because I was saying to myself, you know, I really want to get the joy of Yahweh, and what's robbing me of the joy? And I know it was sin. So I determined in my mind, because Pastor had said, you know, buckle down, really buckle down. So I determined to buckle down and really achieve that joy, as the sign says out front in the sanctuary. He said, stick your heads in the book. So my short speech this morning is entitled, stick your heads in the book and get inspiration from Yahweh. So I stuck my head in the books. And while I was deliberating, the number 50 kept playing in my mind. And so I looked it up in the Hebrew gematria. And I know it was covered some time ago, but I'll just like to go over it quickly again. In Hebrew gematria, Hebrew value, it has one of its meaning as to heal the deaf. Also, what stood out to me was the number 7-4. There was a 7, a small 0, and a 4. But 74 is what stood out to me. In simple value, it has America, joy. There was the joy I was seeking. Sacred, biblical, and vine. So still thinking about this number 50 as I was going about my daily chores, I said, you know, America. How many states is there in America? 50 states. Still pondering this number 50. Scripturally, year of release. And I'm thinking to myself, I really need to be released from sin. And this is what the whole work of the seventh Malach is about. Releasing us from sin. So I thought of that year of release. To me, it meant release from sin. So the number 74 played also while I looked at this number 50. So I looked that up as well. And the first word in the gematria was peace. 74, one of Pastor's lot. Peace. The word English, next meaning. That also reminded me of America. That's the main language that Yahweh chose for his word to go out. To even correct the book of Yahweh. Menorah, 7 lampstand. Donkey, we are included. Nuclear, of course, we are the nuclear age. The king, finished. Preacher, that's what our pastor overseer is, certainly a preacher. And this one stood out to me, it said penny. I chuckled. So I looked it up in the Wiki Dictionary, and this is what it said. It had different meanings for different countries, but when it reached to America, this is what it said. The United States, 1 cent. See, this is how Yahweh inspires you if you follow the instructions and you stick your head in the books. The next word was weapon, and I chuckled at this word as well because I understood the many scriptures where Yahweh says, the seventh Malach is his hammer, his sledge. For your notes, you can add Psalm 74, verse 14. It speaks of the great Leviathan. This is Yahweh's weapon to defeat or break down this Leviathan. And it's not speaking of weapons of war. It's the teachers. The leaves on the tree, the leaves on the branch or overseer, fed by the root. Great Yeshua Messiah. Anyway, moving on along. This 74 in Strong's Hebrew dictionary means my father is a lamp. From Brown, Driver, and Briggs, it says Hebrew 52:16. And this says it's a primitive root, C52:14. It means a lamp, by the way. But it says C52:14 and 51:35. And these two words, 52:14 says, properly meaning to glisten, a lamp. That is a burner, literally or figuratively a candle, lamp, or light. 51:35 means to shine fiery. I thought of the world's, the great fire, the great burning that the world is going to have. But Yahweh has his fiery word in his last day's witness. That's Yahweh's weapon. It's not carnal, as the scripture says. It also led to 52:14, which means to break up, to till the soil. For your notes, you can add Hosea chapter 2. Let me see if I can go there quickly, find that scripture. And verse 5, it says, I'll break your bow strength in the valley of Jezreel. Okay, let's move on from that. 74 in Greek dictionary means, and this is what I was going through while I was thinking about this number, a struggle for victory of severe mental struggles, emotions. It says it's from 73, a Greek lexicon.org, which means agony, grueling conflict, a struggle in the soul. It also says an assembly, a place, an action at law, a trial. Remember, we were on trial. Please turn to 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5, because this explains that weapon that we are speaking of, that Yahweh is speaking of. It's not carnal. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3-5. And that's found on page 906 of the book of Yahweh. And it reads, for though we walk, live in the flesh, we do not wage war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in Yahweh for pulling down strongholds, demolishing arguments, and destroying everything that exalts itself against the one who is Yahweh, bringing under control every thought into the obedience of the Messiah. And this is what I was going through, and lo and behold, it's in that number 74. So I continue to stick my head in the books again. I was reading a prophetic word, and I was reading over the patent of the nuclear bomb. It said July 4th, 1934, the bomb was patented by Leo Szilard. That date in itself, July 4th, July is the seventh month. So again, it stood out there, 7-4, 74, linked to nuclear. So that 74 includes us. It includes our pastor and overseer who is linked to that great warning that is going out to this world concerning the great nuclear devastation that is soon to be upon us. Even in those numbers, 741934, you can get the three lots, pastor's three lots. It's also in that date. Continuing on again in this deliberations in my mind with these two numbers. This is some facts concerning number 50 from the Wikipedia dictionary. 50 is also periodic element tin. Okay, tin. So I looked into tin. It comes from a Latin word, stannum, S-T-A-N-N-U-M. Okay, I put this word in the gematria. Stannum in the gematria gives you clothed in fine linen. 50. But it comes from a an element that they call cassiterite. And just to note a few things about this element, it says it is generally opaque, but it is translucent. It's a translucent thin crystal. Its luster and multiple crystal faces produce a desirable gem. Produces a desirable gem. Okay, another fact concerning 50. It is also one of the seven magical numbers in nuclear physics. So it's tied to the nuclear age. But I was thinking again of this number 50, and it reminded me of a 50 caliber bullet and a polished shaft. Standing 50 caliber bullet and a polished shaft. So I put the word polished shaft into the gematria. And these are the results. Eternal Father, His Anointed One, the meaning of it all. Pastor unlocks the meaning of it all. Revelations 10:7, when the seventh Malach speaks, the great secrets will be opened to us. It also has 3.5 coils. 3.5, what does that remind us of? Pastor was the only one that unlocked the secrets of Daniel's prophecy, the 3.5 years, the 3.5 years, the 7-year peace treaty. Yes, praise God for that. No one in the world can unlock those secrets. It also means publicating. I remember Pastor recently said he published over 50 books. He used that number 50. That word publicating led me to look up and see if I can find it here. The Book of Yahweh also in Gematria. And closing with this, it says, alive in the last days, organized and structured. 7 is the key. The highest calling and an end of all sinners. These are some of the meanings that are found in the gematria of these numbers and these words. And with that, I encourage you to stick your heads in the books and get inspiration from Yahweh. Praise Yahweh.
Shabbat shalom. You may be seated, brothers and sisters. We're going to be moving along in the subject you're hearing today on this beautiful Sabbath. If you could turn to page 879 in your scriptures. Page 879. And you could just hold your place there. I'll give you the board scriptures. Romans chapter 8, verses 18. We'll go as far as we can there. And then if we don't get there, it'll be Jacob 1, 21 to 25. So, I'm reading from the second book, Second Mark of the Beast, volume 2, on page 314 first. Being forced to obey Yahweh's laws would not prove that any false man, woman would continue without sinning if the opportunity to commit sin arose and the force to obey Yahweh was stopped. We all must prove ourselves to Yahweh before we will be given the enormous powers Yahweh has intended for His children in His family to have. So Yahweh has a great plan. In that plan, He has opportunities for us beyond, as I say, our wildest dreams or imagination at this time. The main purpose Yahweh has for those whom He calls out is to prove that person, to try him or her, to see if he or she will be totally righteous, or whether the pressure or the extreme pressure exerted by Satan will make them turn away or against Yahweh. Is that a beautiful test?
You know, we are attaining, we are working for a reward that is greater than we could imagine. Now, in Romans here, chapter 8, I want to start from verse 18. We'll see how far we could get. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which will be revealed in us. It's not worthy to be compared. And the last time I was speaking, I kind of gauged my speak to some of the youths and so on and so forth in the house, because it could be a very challenging thing as you're a young individual. I myself was a young individual in the house of Yahweh, and we have to know how to gird our minds and prepare our minds, understand that the tests and trials that comes our way is that Yahweh sees that is fitting for what we need to get us to another path, to get us to the next step. Most important thing Yahweh is looking for in us right now is our obedience. We need to ask. That's one of the biggest things you always get with a pastor. You have to ask. Ask, and then what? Then go do what you wasn't told to do, then go do your own thing. We ask, and then we have to follow the instructions, right? Because if we can't do those things, what could Yahweh use us for? Let's move on here. Verse 20. For the creation was made subject to emptiness, not willingly, and you could go back to Genesis and read about these things, but by the will of him who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself will also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into this glorious liberty by who? By the children of Yahweh. Well, who are the children of Yahweh? For we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in labor of childbirth right up to this present time. Right? You look at the news, and we've been seeing all the news reports, and that is what we're seeing, the suffering. And what is the tribulation and the pain we go through here in the house of Yahweh? Iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the perception of his friends. That's what we should be doing. One of the great deacons was just talking about attack. And how we need to have these things in mind and encouraging and building each other up. You know, if you had a great teacher, you remember certain things that teacher said to you that stuck with you, if it was positive, and also if it was negative. And that could determine in our minds how we may want to live our life or how we might direct certain things in our lives. But we can't use these things, we can't take just that and live like that. We have to make right decisions, right choices, and educate ourselves. And make sure, because Yahweh said all these things, even put the obscurity in our way, so that we could overcome what we need to overcome to get to the next level. And not only they, but verse 23, but we ourselves, who has the first fruit of the Spirit, grown inwardly, right? We're talking about us. As we wait eagerly for the adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For we will be saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope at all. Hope that is seen is not hope at all. So what does that mean? We hear many things in our Siawe. September the 12th, 2006. People prepared. A lot of things was going on. And then we've been given this warning from Yahweh from time and time and time and time. Preparing us. And we were looking for something. Well, it didn't occur in our minds. For many, it didn't work how we think it was going to occur. But really and truly, right now, how many of us is 100% ready for the kingdom of Yahweh? We're still proving ourselves. Yahweh give many warnings. Think about Yana and the time Yana was given to give that warning to the people at that time. So Yahweh is very merciful. But you see what I say there? Hope that is seen is not hope at all. For why would one still hope for what it sees? The secret thing does belong to Yahweh. He's inspired, Yeshua, who is inspired, our pastor Israel Hawkins, to give us what we need at the time we need it, when we need it. And he is the only man on this earth that has been given that office. But if we hope for what we do not see, then we eagerly wait for it with enduring persistence. That's what we have to do here. With enduring persistence. Verse 27, and he who searches the heart of man knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance to the will of Yahweh. It's so much in this scripture, our brothers and sisters, we need to take hold of and really gird our minds, our loins, with these words. You know, the strength of Yahweh. If you turn over page 880 here to verse, I want to jump into verse 35 now for the time. You remember that last part I read here? The extreme pressure exerted by Satan will make them turn against Yahweh. Verse 35, who will separate us from the love of the Messiah? Will tribulation, distress, persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? What will separate us? Nothing should separate us from the love of Father Yahweh and his great house and his great work. We have one opportunity to prove ourselves. A righteous man falls and he gets back up. Yes, 70 times 7. But we have to get this calling right. We have to work as a team. Like I said before, we're going to be a team or we're not going to be there at all. Yahweh wants a family. And in the Mark of the Beast here, going back to, this is in volume 2 still. This is on page 325. It said here, we must learn to be in complete unity with Yahweh and be brothers and sisters to each person whom Yahweh is calling out. We must learn to love Yahweh with all our hearts, soul, and minds. We must learn always to love our neighbors as ourselves. Simple, direct, but is it that easy to do? When it's cold, do you feel like getting up and want to go to work? Or if it's too hot, you feel like you have on too much clothes? It's always going to be something there that we overcome in our minds that will try to pull us back. Maybe you don't want to deal with this brother or this sister today. What will separate us from the love we have for Yahshua, for this house, for this work? We have to work as a team because that's what Yahweh wants. Let's turn over to Yaqub. Yaqub chapter 1, verse 21. Therefore, put away all filthiness and superabundance of wickedness and receive with meekness, humility, the written law, which is able to save your soul, to save our soul, to save us. This is what's going to save us. Putting away all wickedness and filthiness. This psychology doesn't build someone up and only tears them down. It's not being used right. It causes more hurt than it helps. Yahweh speaks very clearly and very direct. Be doers of the law, not just hearers, only deceiving your own self. For if anyone is a hearer of the law, another doer, he is like a man looking at his natural feature in the mirror, but he forgets when he looks away. Well, he goes back to the old ways. A lot of people used to say, I remember years ago, when they come to the feast, it's like, oh, everybody put on a feast face. Well, what they don't take into consideration a lot of time is the when you're overcoming and you're working with each other and you're grinding in the work and all these things that are going on, it brings out our true character, our true nature. What we have to remember in that is that we don't push each other so far off the cliff or away from each other that we don't want to now be in unity, which is the very thing that she wants. She will win every time. And that's why she could go before Yahweh and accuse us. But if we could find in the peaceful solution and the laws of Yahweh and the counseling that this is what Yahweh wants, the way to peace, a family that will serve him with all their heart, soul, and might, a family that will encourage and build each other up. The next 6,000 years, brothers and sisters, is going to be set on display forever. This 6,000 years, sorry. It's going to be put on display forever for all universe to see what we did. What is your part going to be? Let us show that we set an example of being a family of perfect unity. Do you not want that? I know it's cold, but if everybody clapped, you could actually generate some heat. Okay? That's my time, brothers and sisters, and I thank you for this opportunity to come before you. If you all please stand. I turn it over to the great deacon, Michael Asif Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Hope everybody's having a wonderful Sabbath day. The greatest day of the week that we all look forward to is the great Sabbath day, with joy and being able to come before Yahweh and rejoice and serve one another and have just a really fantastic day learning the laws of Yahweh and just serving. Okay, if you'll turn over to Deuteronomy 30 on page 173, Deuteronomy 30, page 173, and the title of my speech is Choose Life and Blessings. Choose Life and Blessings. We only have one opportunity, and as we see our redemption drawing near, it's at the very door. Because we see the things taking place out in the world. We see the trouble brewing. We see, you know, when I was younger, they didn't throw around nuclear war like they're doing now. It's like commonplace. Nuclear war, nuclear war. And now the CDC has said that the Americans need to start preparing for a nuclear detonation or a nuclear war taking place. So the time is at hand. We don't have any time left. But one important thing that we need to remember is we need to serve each other. We cannot tear each other down. We have to build each other up. We have to encourage each other on towards love and righteous works. Encourage each other to serve and to help, not tear down. That's not us. That's not the saints of Yahweh. That's not what we're being taught. That's not the example of pastor and the great priests and priestesses in his house. So we need to show that example. We need to care for one another. In Deuteronomy 30, it says in verse 19, familiar scripture, we're all aware of this. I call heaven and earth, okay? I call heaven and earth, okay, heaven and earth, against as witnesses against you this day that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Because you are free agents, you have the right to choose to make your own choice between righteousness and evil. And evil. I'm thinking of a scripture here. Genesis 3:5. You know, you can be righteous or you can be evil like the gods. We choose life. We choose righteousness. That's why we're here. That's why we want to overcome. That's why we want to be like our teachers. We want to follow their example and be obedient to what we're taught. Remember, they're here to help us. They're not against us. And as I've said before, and it's been brought out before, when someone says, oh, I'm in trouble now, you know, I did this, and or I'm going to get in trouble if I... Well, the priests come to get you out of trouble, okay? They don't come to put you in trouble. They're come to rescue you out of that so you have an example. Always look to them as a help for you to overcome. They're wonderful, and they'll help you in any problem you have. Don't ever think you can't go to your counselors for help. You can. And they're there to help nurture you in the laws of Yahweh so you can be a righteous example. Okay, we choose life. We choose life in Yahweh's house. Therefore, choose life so both you and your children may live. The end is here. It's right at our doorstep. You know, with all the struggles and the tests and sickness, you know, and this bug that's going around, people are very sick. Remember them in your prayers. Remember people helping, needing the help to overcome. Remember them in your prayers. All of us. We need those prayers. Because people that are getting this bug in the world are dying. Okay? We're not. Yahweh allows us to get sick from it, and some to be down for a week or two. But Yahweh keeps his protection on us. We have to have these things so we can bring testimony of what sin has caused and what we as the saints of Yahweh are going to put a stop to. Okay, so if we turn over to Luke 21, Luke 21, and that's found on page 808, Luke 21. Our redemption draws near. It's at the very door. Okay, Luke 21, and in verse 28, another familiar scripture. So when you see these things begin to come to pass, these things, look up to verse 25. There will be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and on the earth, distress among the nations. I mean, we plainly see that taking place. In their perplexity, at the roaring and surging of the seas, you know, the seas, multitudes, nations, and tongues, the people of the earth, we see the trouble. Men's courage failing them because of fear and because of the dread of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven will be shaken. Many terrible things are getting ready to take place. And we're going through lots of struggles. The tests have been just intense. But there is some work being done. Yahweh's blessed his house with incredibly wonderful music, the men and women's sound rooms. And so I'm going to be reading some encouraging things from the book of future book of Yisrael, last day book of songs, Yisrael songs. And these things are for an encouragement to all of us. From the chapter, Ask It Abel, verse 3, Great Yahweh, we praise you for the great blessing of bringing back the house of Yahweh at Abel. Let all the earth rejoice and seek you. Now, one thing I noticed about the songs is there's here a little, there a little in the songs. Because you ever listen to a song and it reminds you of another song and some phrase that was in that song. So I started looking and I could piece together things from one song to another. Just something to keep mindful of. Okay, so praise Yahweh for the great blessings of bringing his house back so that all mankind can have a way to peace again, which there's never been a way to peace over the 6,000 years except through the one Yahweh will bring forth, the one Yahweh will send, the house of Yahweh, which he's established in these last days once again through Yisrael Hawkins, again, bringing that great blessing back to mankind. From the chapter, Hold On to Your Crown, verse 2. When we struggle and think that we just can't go on, remember Yahweh's promises. For all the pain that this life puts us through will not compare to the life that's waiting for me and you. So endure until the end. Hold fast to your crown. Don't let anything take that crown. We can go through these things. We can endure the tests and trials. Remember, if someone's stepping on your toes, Yahweh's still working with them too. Okay? And remind yourself, I need to be tested and tried because the position Yahweh has for all of us is far off the scale from anything mankind will ever be allowed to give you or able to give you. So remember that. And be merciful, because if we don't practice mercy, we won't receive mercy at the time of judgment. So let that always be in your thought. Mercy and loving concern for others. Care and concern for others, like the peaceful solution brings. From the chapter, Just Like Great Father Yahweh, verse 1. We wake up early, it's a new day. First things first, it's time to pray. We ask Yahweh to be with us and help us overcome. Though we face trials and tests, we will always do our best to be examples of Yahweh's perfect righteousness. That's a very beautiful scripture there. So always do your best to be mindful of others and to help serve others. That's what we're being trained to be, teachers of righteousness, teachers of peace, and teachers to be able to help in this work, to help others endure and help others overcome. From the chapter, Yisrael's seed will come to perfection. This is the bridge. Yahweh's redemption will soon be standing at our door. No more pain or suffering, only peace and joy forevermore. That's what we have to look forward to. No more suffering, no more pain. You know, everybody wakes up and has those pains, you know, and I see brothers and I see people, you know, walking to their positions to work during the day and struggling and, you know, hurting. And it's like your heart goes out to them. And then the next day you're hurting, you know, and it's like, you know, help me. And it's like, I'll go to work and I get these headaches and it's like, they're intense. And it's hard when you're listening to music and you hear the boom, boom, and you're like, oh man, it's so loud. And yet it's like so low, you can barely hear it. But, you know, I lay my head down for a moment until it subsides and I get up and I move forward and I keep working. I keep struggling. So again, remember your brothers and sisters in the work that are struggling, that are hurting. Okay, remember them. The prayers of the saints accomplish much. Okay, and as Pastor said, prayer works, brethren. Prayer works. Nowhere else can you get your prayers answered except the house of Yahweh. So our redemption is standing at the door. And we need to remember that. We need to remember that it's time for us to complete what Yahweh has started in us. You know, he's opened the door. We can do it. We can complete this. We can finish the job by being mindful of the mistakes we're making, going to our counselors, asking them for help. How can I get a handle on this? You know, it comes upon me all the time, and I fall short. And I end up falling right back into it. What can I do, you know? And they have the answers. They'll help you. And prayer and pray and prayer and pray. So, you know, I was thinking about some encouraging things for everybody. But I thought, you know, no one can bring it better than Pastor. So at this time, I'd like to play a short clip of music and look at the beauty of this picture. Okay, at this time, can I please have the video?
It's a great plan that Yahweh has to bring life and peace and joy to the entire universe. And by the time you get through, there will be no wars on the planets. There will be no sickness and no disease and so forth. And people will be healthy, living healthy, joyous lives, helping, serving each other to make sure that everything goes correctly.
Children laughing and they're playing in the streets. True joy for Yahweh's glory fills the land. But the greatest joy of all, we will be teaching Yahweh's laws with Yahshua and Israel. True peace will bring a beautiful blessing.
Somebody told me this morning that's confessing and said they aren't as joyful today as they thought they should be. And I said, think about what Yahweh has called you for. The wonderful glory. It's almost unthinkable what he has planned for this group of people right here that he's offering you right now.
Oh, what a beautiful blessing.
So worth it, brethren. It is so worth it. We can do this. You know, when you think you want to be a little hard on someone, consider what they're going through. Yes, correction's needed. But building up and care and concern and helping others is needed more. So with that, if you'll all please stand. I have a wonderful honor to turn it over to a great priest in Yahweh's house, a fellow worker in the Great House of Yahweh Sound Room, the great Kohan Matithya Arsamad Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh, you may be seated. The sounds we make in the sound room are near as beautiful as the ones Deacon Michael produces from his room. We have a lot of the equipment failures. Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Today, my sermonette is entitled, You Were Looking for Escape and Yahweh Offered You Life. If you be turning over to 1 Yochanan chapter 3, First Yochanan chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. I'm going to be reading a couple quotes today from the Going On to Perfection series, the second book of Yisrael. And this is on page 11 of the Going On to Perfection, number 2. First Yochanan chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. Try to focus today a little bit on why Yahweh's called us to his house and how we can't allow our minds to be distracted in recognizing that he's called us to give us a position of leadership and glory in his soon coming kingdom. You know, but when we come to Yahweh's house, we really don't come for that fact. We don't really realize why Yahweh's brought us to his house. We have our own individual thoughts or ideas to why we came to Yahweh's house, but Yahweh actually brought us here to be teachers and leaders in his kingdom because he's looking to build this great family. In 1 Yochanan 3, verse 7, it says, "Little children, let no man deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous, and he who commits sin is of the devil." And Pastor commented in the second book of Israel, he said, "This is a fact. You don't belong to Yahweh. You belong to Satan until you overcome sin. Remember, you can sin in words or in deeds." And continuing on in 1 Yochanan 3, verse 8, it said, "For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of Yahweh was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." And then in verse 9, it reads, "Whoever is begotten of Yahweh does not commit sin, for his seed remains in him, and it is possible for him not to sin, because he has been begotten of Yahweh." Now, Pastor says here, and this is something that really helps. We went over this last week in workshops, and it brought to my remembrance, but it also helps in the day-to-day life. You know, I always like to think about trying to carry along a mental mirror. You know, you can't carry along a physical mirror. Maybe some people can, you know, if they have handbags for those things, but not the men, right? We don't really carry along mirrors, but a mental mirror. And Pastor says here, he says, "Now the reason it's possible for him not to sin is because the laws of Yahweh are being drilled into his mind. This is how you overcome." Now, before knowledge increased, before the invention of the drill, you know, carpenters, they used a hammer. You know, and if you remember Pastor talking about how he's called us to his house to hammer us into his image. You know, if we're round when we come into Yahweh's house, you know, He's hammering us down to a square peg so we can fit through that square hole that he needs us to fit into. Okay? Yahweh knows, he knows our place and our position. He knows where he needs us. And we get this hammering, or as Pastor put it here in the Going On to Perfection series, the laws of Yahweh are being drilled into our mind. This is how we overcome. They paint a picture for you and they show you the dirt on your face as one of the apostles described it. The laws paint that picture for you. They are like a mirror that you look into, so you start overcoming, and Spirit Holy starts growing within you. If it's not holy, it's not of Yahweh. It's just a spirit that peeps and mutters. It's not of Yahweh. You know, so we can see here how important it is to examine our own actions and our own doings, you know, and to always remember that, you know, we have dirt on our face that we got to clean off, you know, and this is why we're being taught, we're being trained here from the great house of Yahweh. That's why Pastor continues to hammer on us, and he sends the priests and the teachers to continue to hammer on us to get us into this unity. If you remember right after Tabernacles, Pastor was talking about getting ready for the Feast of Passover, and we probably thought it was a little soon to be getting ready for the Feast of Passover, and he said, you know, make sure we get all the leavening out, and he wasn't telling us, you know, no chocolate cake until after Passover. Remember, we only do without the physical leavening for those 7 days of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. But he said the leavening represents this disobedience. And he said we need to get that out of our lives. We need to get this disobedience out of our lives. Well, we can see how easy it is, you know, in our daily interactions. It's very easy to see dirt on someone else's face, right? Because you're looking at them. It's very easy to see others' flaws or imperfections. But remember, the laws of Yahweh, you know, they paint a picture for us. They're like a mirror for us to look into so that we can start overcoming. And so Spirit Holy will grow within us. You know, we have to be taking that, you know, that mental mirror, as it was, and we have to be actually examining our own lives and our own actions. I always like to try and focus on when you see someone else's flaw or weakness, you know, look into your own life and see where you have a similar flaw or weakness, or what thing that you have that is worse that needs to be removed. Because the scripture says, You know, why would you worry about, you know, the speck in your brother's eye when there's a beam right in your own eye? You know, we have our own faults and flaws, and so does everyone else, you know, and we need to be working on ours, and they're going to be working on theirs. This is the reason for these hammerings and these teachings. It's to bring us, if you turn it over to Proverbs chapter 12 on page 503. Proverbs chapter 12. This is the reason that we have to be continually attending the classes and the workshops, the things that have been provided by Yahweh's house, so that we'd be able to, you know, we'd be able to receive the instructions so we know what to look for in our own lives. You know, we might not recognize it as dirt. We might have thought it was beauty. You know, we looked in the mirror and we're like, wow, looking so nice. You know, that's the way I'm supposed to be looking, right? We might not recognize that we got filth and crud all over us, and we just can't see it because we haven't come to the understanding of what Yahweh is bringing us to. And that's why we have to be very diligent, as some of the previous speakers, the great young speakers there, were encouraging us to continue in our studies. To continue in our studies so that we'd be able to know what things that we have to wipe off of our face, clean off of our face. You know, we know what things to remove. In Proverbs chapter 12, found on page 503, Proverbs 12, verses 1 through 3, it says, "Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is brutish to be consumed by fire." Now, we come to Yahweh's house, and as soon as we come to Yahweh's house, as one of the speakers before said, you know, we start receiving instructions, you know, and sometimes those instructions might be given in a way that's easy to accept, and a lot of times it's a culture shock, as it was. You know, it's a little tougher, it's a little, you know, that's like a big old sledgehammer. You know, if you're in the construction world, you know, it's like a sledgehammer. You just wanted to get tapped on with like a little, you know, drywall hammer, or maybe like a little bitty, you know, finish nail hammer. You didn't want to get the big old sledgehammer all at once. But, you know, Yahweh, he knows what we can handle. Remember in Corinthians, it says, Yahweh will not test us beyond what we can bear. You know, so if we're feeling like we're having too much pressure on us, we need to be doing some more looking into that mirror to see what dirt we need to get off of our face, because Yahweh's not testing us beyond what we can bear. We can handle these things. We have Yahweh's laws, and we have the statutes and judgments that govern his laws, the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program, so we're able to actually overcome any flaw, fault, or any kind of weakness that we might have. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 2 says, "A righteous man receives honor from Yahweh, but a man of wicked devices he will condemn. A man will not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous cannot be pulled up." Remember the parable Yeshua gave about, you know, the seeds that were sown, you know, and that the righteous, you know, they dig in deep and they get their nourishment and they grow and they succeed. All the other ones, you know, they fall by the wayside, they get, you know, blown over or they, you know, fell on stony ground and they don't ever establish this root. But we have to root ourselves in the teachings that come forth from Yahweh's house. We have to be deeply rooted, and we can't be pulled up. It would be impossible for this to take place in our lives. If you be turning over to Ecclesiastes on page 521, Ecclesiastes chapter 6, one of our biggest tests, because, you know, when we came to Yahweh's house, we were looking for escape from something, you know, whether we were trying to escape, you know, Maybe we lived in some worse place, you know, than the God-forsaken land that Yahweh brought us to here, right? Where all the gods have been forsaken. Texas is not the most enjoyable climate for people who come from different areas that are maybe more enjoyable. So whatever escape we thought we were getting away from, whether it be, you know, environment or individuals or situations or jobs or different things, you know, we come to Yahweh's house. Yahweh's offering us life, you know, but if not very mindful and focused on the life that Yahweh is offering us through the instructions that are coming from his house, then it's easy to feel as if we didn't escape nothing and then we have to escape again. You know, and you can't gain life. You can't gain life by turning from Yahweh's house and turning from the instructions that Yahweh gives. In Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verses 7 through 9, you know, remember King Solomon. You know, he wrote these words, you know, in the end of his life, you know, and he had all this great wisdom and knowledge, and he wrote all these things, and this is under the heading of contentment with life. And in Ecclesiastes 6, verse 7, it says, "All of a man's labor is for his own mouth, but his appetite is never satisfied. What more does the wise have than the fool, only knowing how to conduct himself before others? Better to have what you can see than wondering after what you can imagine. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit, grasping at the wind. You know, so we can see before us here in Yahweh's house the teachings, you know, the laws that are being poured out and the actual opportunity to refine our character. Now, maybe if we're younger, you know, maybe if we're younger and we haven't been in Yahweh's house for very long time, we have a hard time seeing those things. But, you know, go and ask your, as the proverb says, to go ask your elders and they will explain. You know, go ask your counselors. Allow them to explain these things to you, because I can tell you from growing up in Yahweh's house, you can see the growth of Yahweh's house. You know, not just in, you know, people or buildings, you know, or properties. You know, the growth in character. You know, you can see the peaceful solution working in everyone's lives. And you can see how Yahweh's house is actually growing in this spirit which is holy. And I have a quote here from the second book of Yisro also, which is on page 195. This is chapter 22 of the second book of Yisro, going on to perfection. Pastor here talks about here what's being poured out at Yahweh's house in these last days. Okay, he says, I would like for everyone to listen to me real closely, because if you don't get these sermons, you may never hear them again. If you've been hearing the messages that have been placed on the radio, you know, about really paying attention and absorbing the knowledge that's coming forth from Yahweh's house on the Sabbath day. You know, that's what gets you through the rest of the week. You know, that's why it's the Sabbath of rest. You know, it's not, we don't come in here and kick back in our lazy boys and enjoy the, you know, beautiful 80-something degree weather. You know, you got to wait for summertime and there's no lazy boys, but it'll be hot during summertime if you're cold right now. But we come to Yahweh's house to actually be able to learn, to be able to learn the things that we need necessary to overcome and to make it through the test that we're going to face throughout the week. You know, this is why the Sabbath is so important. Keeping Yahweh's Sabbath day is so important. Pastors always hit on that. You know, don't miss our Sabbath appointments. Let's continue to come on the Sabbath day. Even, you know, if we're not having a great day or we're not feeling, you know, upbeat, you know, put a fake smile, as he said. You know, don't let anyone else know that you're not feeling very well. You know, pick yourself up and push forward. And Pastor says here in the Going On to Perfection, chapter 22, on page 195 of the second book of Yisro, we know that Spirit Holy is going to be poured out on people who are in unity with Yahweh. This is going to be done in these last days. If you do not listen and pay attention to what I'm about to tell you, you will not come to unity with the rest of the house of Yahweh, nor with Yeshua and Yahweh. Okay, so we don't come into unity if we're not paying attention. So if we find ourselves feeling like everyone else has dirty faces, you know, and our face is oh so pretty when we look into the mirror, you know, we need to get our face in the book for a little while, get it out of that imaginary mirror, you know, get our face in the books and study diligently so that we would be able to see the unity that we're supposed to come to by paying attention to the teachings. Pastor says, you will not even know how to come to unity with him. Believe me, I know that you are not in unity with him. And I know that you don't know how to be, and you're not even working on it. Now, this was in 1993. This was very, very, very many years ago. But we still have the finishing touches, you know, to put on being in complete unity with Yahweh. Pastor goes on here on the right-hand column of page 195 in the second book of Yisro. He says, do you remember the thousands of people who followed Yeshua? Thousands. You know, there was a lot of people. There were times when they flocked to him. One time, he fed 7,000 people with few bread and fish. This is a pretty story, but it wasn't too beautiful the way it turned out. There were actually thousands of people who followed Yeshua and flocked to him at one time. He fed 7,000 people at one time and 5,000 people at another time. Yet the way that story wound up, only 120 people received Spirit Holy. Now that is very sad. If you put those statistics to the little group that we have here, it may be just a few of you. And if you remember a couple weeks ago, Pastor talking about very few will actually enter in. It may just be a few of you. The way that you can prevent receiving Spirit Holy is not paying attention to find out how you can become in unity with Yahweh. How do we learn these things? It's from the classes and the services. That's why Pastor set up the classes and the services, so that we'd be able to learn how to be in unity with Yahweh. You know, and if you're thinking the peaceful solution doesn't teach unity with Yahweh, you got to get to class a little more often, you know, read those books a little more, because you can see how they're exactly what Pastor said, The Peaceful Solution Character Education Program is the statutes and judgments that govern Yahweh's laws. You know, no, you won't find Yahweh's name in the book, and you're not going to see where it references laws, but you're actually going to see, you know, in correlation with your studies in Scripture, when you attend those classes and you're studying from those books, you're going to actually see how they go hand in hand. But Pastor says they're not paying attention to find out how they can become in unity with Yahweh. Then you walk out of here with empty heads and without Spirit Holy of Yahweh. If we could all pay attention to what's going on in these sermons and set our lives in agreement with Yahweh, Spirit Holy could be poured out before we leave this campground. We know there's a terrible time of trouble coming. It would take a fool not to see this. The nations are building for war. And you can see that in the news today. You know, all the things that have been warned about, and you can see how prophecy has fallen right into place, you know, right before our very eyes. And we have to continue to put our trust in these prophecies by continuing to put our trust in the one who's been sent to teach us and guide us in what the prophecies and the laws are. Now, if you'd be turning over to Ecclesiastes chapter 14 in closing, Ecclesiastes chapter 14, verses 11 through 13 on page 56. This is a warning to us, what we see here with our forefathers when Moshe brought them out of Egypt. I'm sorry, I said Ecclesiastes. Exodus chapter 14. Exodus 14, verses 11 through 13 on page 56. Exodus 14. We see this warning here. This is a warning to us in these last days that we not allow ourselves to be distracted from what Yahweh has brought us here for. He's brought us here to receive life. No matter what we thought we were coming for, Yahweh's brought us here to receive life. And before we read that scripture here, Pastor, in the Going On to Perfection series, in chapter 34 on page 310, he says, Yahweh is teaching us. He's not just teaching us laws to follow. He's teaching us laws to solve problems with. We're going to solve the problems of the world. You are going to take over the world, brethren. The laws Yahweh is giving you that you should be studying, reading, and adjusting your life are the ones you will use to go out to the nations and solve all of their problems. This is what Yahweh has brought us here for. He's brought us here to be able to solve these problems. We see here in Exodus 14 how the children of Israel, how they thought it was better that they had been left in Egypt. They'd been left in sin. It says in verse 11, they said to Moshe, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done by taking us out of Egypt? Did we not say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? I would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in this wilderness. And Moshe said to the people, do not fear, stand still. Remember, Pastor showed us in these last days, you know, to wait on Yahweh, to stand in our place and to remain in Yahweh's house forever. We have to continue to stand still in our place, doing our work, so that we're able to actually receive these positions that Yahweh's offering, at being able to not only have life and enjoy life, be able to offer life to others who are searching for it. And at this time, if you all please stand, may the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I have the great opportunity to turn it over to the great Kohan, Koheleth Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, saints of Yahweh. You may all be seated. Today, I kind of just want to go over some things or rehearse some of the things that Pastor has been teaching us over the years. You know, and I want you to consider, you know, the blessing that we have of being in Yahweh's house. Okay, remember what Yeshua said. Yeshua said that, you know, it's been given to us to know the great seekers of Yahweh. Okay, and so think about what we know. Okay, and think about the things that we didn't know. Think about the things that we used to believe. Okay, in the scriptures, when we were in the world, before we came to Yahweh's house, these were cute stories. They were cute. Oh, you know, things you could tell the children. Okay, like Daniel, right? Daniel in the lion's den. Cute story. He's in there with these cute kitty cats. Nothing wrong there. He's going to be fine, right? That's a traumatic situation. Okay, a traumatic situation. If it was me, there's no way you're going to convince me that this is going to be a cute story for children when I get out of here. No way. Okay, I'm going to be praying to Yahweh with everything that I've got to get me out of this situation. Okay, because I don't know what my end is going to be. Am I going to be a martyr? Or is Yahweh going to use me for a greater work? So when Daniel was in this situation, he was praying. He wasn't saying these are cute kitty cats. These are hungry lions who've eaten flesh. Okay, what about it? Here's another traumatic situation. And for those of you who know me, being tossed overboard and being swallowed up by a giant fish, 3 days and three nights, not a cute story. Not a cute story. Okay, wherever that fish would have spit me out, that's where I'm going to stay at. I'm not going back in the water. Yahweh, what do you need me to do? I'm going to do it right here. Okay, right here, this is where I'm going to do your work. But if Yahweh needed me to go somewhere else, guess what? Nah, this fish has legs and it's coming to get me. No, I need you over here. Okay, not a cute story. So what do we know? We know about Adam, right? Adam. In the world, we thought that Adam was just some guy with nothing to do, just running around in the woods, not dressed appropriately, right? This was the extent of our knowledge. But what do we know now? Here's a man that was so smart that he was able to name all of the animals, every species of everything that Yahweh created. Okay, that's what we know now. Okay, what do we know about Eve? Now, here's a woman, same situation, talking to snakes and being tricked into eating fruit. That's what we thought. Okay, that's what we thought. Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel, two little boys, right? And then one killed the other. That's all we knew. But now we understand that these men were priests. They were teachers. You know, one taught to serve Yahweh and to how to live according to a righteous way so that you can have life, guarding and protecting life, and the other didn't. He taught a way against Yahweh. This is what we know now. So I said all of that so that we can remember what we didn't know and how much Yahweh has shown us in these last days because of our righteous teacher, Pastor Israel Hawkins. Okay? And so these are the things that we need to be thankful for because we didn't know anything. Okay? Imagine this. Yeah, make sure, Adam, when these things are written down, make sure the children know that the snake did talk. Okay, because that's what snakes do, right? But in 2,000 years or 4,000 years, they won't be able to talk anymore. So we got to make sure that this cute story is convincing. Okay, it's foolishness. Okay, so in Yahweh's great plan, you know, he's setting it up so that we can learn how to become guards of life. Okay, to guard and to keep. Okay, because these things weren't being done. Okay, so if we open up to Yada. Which is it doesn't have a page number on it, but it's about 965, somewhere in that area, right before the book of Revelations, the book of Yada. And the caption right above verse 5 says, those who fall away from the truth. Okay, those who fall away from the truth. In verse 6, it says, and the Malachim, who did not keep their first estate, but left their own habitation. Okay, they left their own habitation. They left the house. They left Yahweh. Okay? And there's other applications to that, but I'm going to focus on my portion here. And it says, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness until the judgment of the great day. Okay, so they're reserved in everlasting chains under darkness. Okay, so they fell away from the truth. Remember what Yeshua said? He said the truth would do what? The truth will set you free. Free from what? Free from sin and death. Free from the bondage of sin and death. But because they left the house, because they fell away from the truth, they're in these chains, they're in this bondage of sin. Okay? Until what? Until the judgment of that great day, which is when the kingdoms are turned over to the saints of Yahweh. Okay? All these things are going to be set in order so that teaching, which causes people to be in this bondage of sin, will be shut off one day. Okay, but in order for that to take place, we need to have judges. Okay, and where does judgment begin? At the house of Yahweh. Judgment begins at the house of Yahweh. It must begin at the house of Yahweh. And remember, I think it was the apostle, either the apostle Kepha or the apostle Shaul who said, I think it was Kepha. Anyway, what he said was, you're going to judge the world. The saints of Yahweh are going to judge the world. And the saints of Yahweh are also going to judge the Malachim. Okay, so there has to be a place that's going to teach people how to judge. Okay, because it has to start here at Yahweh's house. You can't go anywhere else and learn how to judge Yahweh's way. Okay, so we're going to look at some scriptures here. If you turn over to Psalms 82, this is what takes place when you fall away from the truth. Okay, this is what occurs when you fall away from the house of Yahweh. And as we're looking at this, think about what we came out of. Think about what we used to be and what Yahweh's, you know, bringing us into. Okay, because this is how we were and this is what we're getting out of us. So in Psalms 82, starting in verse 1, the scripture says, Yahweh stands in the assembly of the gods and he gives judgment among the gods. Yahweh says, how long will you defend the unjust and show partiality to the sinners? You should defend the weak and fatherless. You should maintain the rights of the poor and oppressed. You should rescue the poor and needy and deliver them from the hands of the wicked. You know nothing. You understand nothing. You walk about in darkness, and all the foundations of the earth are shaken because of you. Okay, so hold your place. Well, I'm going to go back and insert a part from Yada 1:6, because here in verse 7, it says, like Adam, you will all die. Okay, verse 6 shows that you are gods, you sons of the Most High. And in Yada 1:6, he's talking about the sons of Yahweh, the Malachim, who left the house, who left their habitation and started spreading these things that put people in the bondage of sin. Okay, binding people to this covenant of death. So reading verse 5 again, it says, you know nothing, you understand nothing, you walk about in everlasting chains under darkness until the judgment of the great day, and all the earth, all the foundations of the earth are shaken because of you. Okay, so they're walking about bringing forth these teachings that's leading people to death. Okay, why? Because they didn't remain in Yahweh's house. They did not retain Yahweh in their knowledge. Now, they didn't stand in Yahweh's counsel. Okay, they didn't do the things which are necessary to preserve and to protect life. So we can see how these actions of people who don't remain in Yahweh, how it leads to misery. Okay, remember what the word darkness means. It means misery, death, destruction. It means false doctrine. Okay, that's in your footnotes in Genesis. Okay, at the very beginning. Okay, and so think about this also. You know, from the very beginning, you know, when we were in the world, we thought about these cute stories, right? So we were already on the wrong foot. You know, at the beginning of the book. So imagine how far off you're going to be by the time you get to Revelations. Okay, we already started off wrong on page one. You know, but, you know, again, we're thankful to Yahweh. We should be thankful to Yahweh because he brought us here and he's revealed these things to us. Okay, so let's go over to Proverbs chapter 31. And again, we're just rehearsing. These are the things that we should be meditating on a regular basis, being thankful to Yahweh that he has called us here and opened up our minds so that we can see the truth of the matter. So Proverbs 31, okay, of course, verse 1 shows that those who will reign as priests and kings, those who are going to be judges, those who are going to judge the world, judge the Malachim, you're going to learn it where? What does it say there, that last line? The house of Yahweh will teach them. Okay, the house of Yahweh will teach them. Go to the place where I chose to establish my name and learn from the priest. Okay, go there and learn. Don't go there and judge them. Don't go there and criticize everything that you see and think you understand. You know nothing. You understand nothing. So go there and learn something. Okay, stop walking about in darkness. You know, become children of light and then become a teacher of light. Become children of light. Verse 2. You who have been set apart by Yahweh, you who have been set apart as Yahweh's sons, all you who have been sanctified by my vow, do not give your strength to those who deceive, nor your ways to that which destroys those who will reign as priests and kings. Okay, again, this is talking about setting up righteous teachers. Righteous teachers who's going to teach. It is not for those who will reign as priests and kings of Yahweh. No, is it not for those who will reign as priests and kings to drink the wine of Yahweh's wrath, nor for rulers to love bloodshed, or they will commit evil and forget the law and pervert the justice of those who are afflicted. Okay, and so this is what occurs when we don't retain Yahweh in our knowledge, when we don't allow Yahweh's word, his word, to have his perfect work in us, developing the righteous character of Yahweh. Because that's the plan of Yahweh, to make man like Yahweh, to make us like him. Okay, that's his plan. And so when we don't allow these words to actually change us, to change our hearts and our minds, then we're failing. Okay, we'll end up being like in Matithia, where Yeshua, he's talking to the scribes and the Pharisees. He's saying, you know, yeah, you tithe on cumin, you tithe on mint, you tithe on all of these things, but yet you neglect the more important matters of Yahweh's word, the judgment, the mercy, the faith. You've neglected these things, but you want to brag about how much money you're bringing to Yahweh's house, but yet you're not teaching righteousness? You want to brag about yourself, but you're not teaching Yahweh's people the way that they should live? Okay, praise Yahweh. So, you know, you have to develop the positive character traits that's necessary in order to guide and to teach, to instruct, or else you're going to forget, like it says here in verse 5, you're going to pervert the justice of those who are afflicted. Verse 6, bloodshed is appointed to him who is ready to perish, and the wine of Yahweh's wrath to those who have bitterness of heart. He who commits evil, therefore, renounces the law. The poor and the suffering he remembers no more. Okay, so again, this is what we came out of, but this is what those who fall away from the truth go back to. Okay, this is what they go back to. But look at what Yahweh tells us we need to be doing in verse 8. Speak out for those, or speak out for the one who cannot speak for himself in the case of all who are appointed to die. Okay, did y'all hear that? Speak out for the one who cannot speak for himself. Cry loud, spare not. Show my people their sins. Show them where they're going wrong so that they can turn and live. Okay, there has to be a voice for Yahweh in these last days, and there has to be a voice for Yahweh forever, or people are going to die. That's why we're here. Okay, we're learning to be a voice of Yahweh. We're learning to speak out for those who are appointed to die so that they can come and live. Okay, without the words of Yahweh, they have nothing to look forward to. Nothing. Verse 9, speak out, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. And here we are with the poor and needy again. Well, so what's the deal with the poor and needy? You know, what's so important about the poor and needy? If you look up that word poor, wow, I'm running out of time. If you look up the word poor, it goes back to the word, word number 1004. Who knows what that word is? Bayit, house. Okay, it means court, family, or house. Okay, the poor, the house, the family. Okay, teach the family. Doesn't the law say teach the children diligently? Are we not the children of Yahweh? And so what is it that we absolutely have to have? What is it that we need beyond anything else? More important than bread and water, any of that. So what is it that we absolutely need? I heard a teacher. That's true. We need a teacher. Okay, to teach us what? Because there's a lot of teachers in the world. The laws of Yahweh. We desperately need a teacher. Okay, we need a teacher. Remember in Isaiah, this is what takes place when you don't have a teacher of righteousness. You know, when you just heap yourself or join yourself with any old teacher. Isaiah 24. Okay, I'm just going to read verse 6 for the sake of... No, I'll read verse 5 and 6. In verse 5 it says, the earth also is defiled under the inhabitants of it because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, and broken the everlasting covenant. Because of this, the curse has devoured the earth, and they who dwell therein are desolate. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are burned and few men left. Now, the word desolate means not having those things which are necessary for life. It means you don't have what you need to live. Okay, and we need the word of Yahweh. And so these people are going to be burned because they don't have what they need. They don't have a teacher of righteousness. Okay, but Yahweh's providing that for us in these last days. We're not desolate. Okay, we have a teacher. Okay, we desperately need a teacher in order to live. Okay, so look over to Psalms chapter 50. Well, actually, let me read those Proverbs again. Proverbs 31 verses 8 and 9 again. And think about some of the scriptures we just read here. Okay, verse 8. Speak out for the one who cannot speak for himself in the cause of all who are appointed to die. Speak out, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Okay, so, you know, teach Yahweh's house. Come here and learn to be a teacher of righteousness so that others can also hear and know what we know and have abundant living. Okay, now, I know a lot of us are like, well, I'm not really having abundant living right now. I am poor and I do need a lot of things. But Yahweh knows exactly what we need. Okay, what we need is the word of Yahweh. Okay, right now, everything that we're going through is to strengthen our character so that, you know, when Yahweh places us in these various positions, we will never, ever, ever revert back to these kind of conditions ever again. Okay, we're never going to allow it to be like this again. In Psalms 50, verse 7 here, it says, Yahweh says, hear, O my people, and I will speak. Hear, O Israel, and I will testify against you. I am Yahweh your father. Now look over the verse. I wanted to read that because Yahweh says, I will testify against you. And in verse 16, it says, to the wicked, Yahweh says, what right do you have to declare my statutes or take my covenant in your mouth? Since you hate my instructions and have cast my words behind you, when you saw a thief, you consented with him or conspired or bought from him. When your mouth, let me see, when you saw an adulterer, you participated with him. Your mouth is given up to evil and your tongue weaves the web of deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, but I have held my peace and remained silent. You have imagined that I was just like you. Okay? You imagined that I was just like yourself. Now think about the scriptures that we covered today, okay? The unrighteous character traits, you know, the oppression of the poor, you know, not defending the fatherless, not defending the widow, you know, not being righteous teachers of the way of Yahweh, not guarding and keeping what Yahweh told us to guard and keep. And Yahweh said, I remain silent, and so you thought I was like you. You thought that's how I was? You actually went on teaching this stuff over and over again because you thought I was like that? That's what you thought of me? I'm going to rebuke you to your face. I'm going to accuse you to your face. Then in verse 22, it says, oh, consider this now, you forgetters of Yahweh, or I will tear you to pieces and there will be none left to deliver. Okay, so is Yahweh actually going to tear you to pieces? Okay, no, that's not what he's saying here. Okay, but the accusation, now what Yahweh's saying here is that if we don't learn to follow the teachings from Yahweh's house, you're going to be cut to pieces. Okay, remember the two-edged sword, right? The word of Yahweh. Okay, mentally, you know, without the word of Yahweh, we're all over the place. We're scattered everywhere. Okay, but Yahweh, you know, puts those pieces together if we allow him to with these teachings and makes us whole. Okay, but without this word, we're hacked up, we're cut, we're scattered, we're everywhere, sick. You know, so many ways to die, but only one way to live. Okay. In conclusion, you know, I want to encourage you to continue to realize what a great blessing you have for being in Yahweh's house. Okay, it's a great blessing to be in Yahweh's house. Okay, Yahweh has a wonderful plan for all of us, and we can't forget the things that he's done for us and what he's doing to us. Think about what you came out of and where you're at right now. Okay, think about these things and remember that it's Yahweh's righteous desire to give us the kingdom of Yahweh. May Yahweh bless your understanding. And if y'all please stand, I turn the services over to the great God, Kiefer Reynolds Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh. Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Whew. I know it's very cold today, so you get the exercise of getting up and down that should help out a little bit. But I wanted to start with just saying that I wanted to thank everyone in the house of Yahweh and everybody listening for the privilege and the opportunity of getting to work with each and every one of you, you know, because this is a very special kingdom that Yahweh is putting together here. And the title of my sermon today is Yahweh's Perfect Training Camp. Yahweh's Perfect Training Camp. You know, last week, that wasn't last year, it was another week. Last week, we went over the importance of preparation, you know, and guarding, you know, against things like retaliation, but storing up this oil. And if you turn over to Proverbs 24, this is the 26th precept, found on page 511. Just to kind of reiterate this point, he says, my son, eat honey because it is beneficial. For as honey from the comb is sweet to your taste, so shall the knowledge of wisdom be beneficial and sweet to your soul if you possess it. If you possess it. Now that's what we're going to be talking about is Yahweh's perfect plan to help us develop and to possess it. You know, we talk a lot about the classes and all the resources, the information that we have here in Yahweh's house in order for us to get it. But you don't want to miss out that it's also the experience. It's the experience that we go through that helps us possess it.
You know, when you look at the promise given to us in Hebrews 10:16, you don't have to turn there, but you know that He will put His laws in our hearts. There's a process in which we go through in order for us to be able to attain this. Now, all day on prep day, if you've been listening to the radio station, you would have heard the great priest reiterating this point to us to come prepared for Sabbath services, and that when the speakers begin, you should already be ready. Don't look at this as a small thing. You know, this is Yahweh's eternal appointments that He's laid out for us in order for us to accomplish, you know, this great work of making us into His image. Now, if you turn to Jacob, one of the great deacons read this over, but I wanted to reiterate this. Jacob 1. And this speaks to the point of not just hearing, you know, not just coming here to hear a message, but it requires an action. In verse 22, he says, "But be doers of the law, not just hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if anyone is a hearer of the law and not a doer, he is like a man looking at his natural features in a mirror. For he looks at himself and then he goes away immediately and forgets what he looks like." Okay, that's very important. And it's something that you can easily get into the habit of doing, of coming here and being inspired by a message and saying, yeah, I'm gonna do that and I'm going to do this. And then as the week progresses, you forget all those things that you were going to do and you get sidetracked with all of the cares of the world, all of the alien things that befall you throughout the week. Well, it's important that we cannot do this. In verse 25, he says, "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and perseveres, continues persistently in it, he is not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. And that man will be blessed in the performance of the law." That man, that woman, that child, that adult, anybody who does that will be blessed in that performance of the law. You know, people, it's very important because this comes out in our actions. You know, people who study body language, they look for inconsistencies with words and actions. You know, so like, for example, somebody could be shaking their head, but they're saying yes. You know, that little things like that shows us that there's a conflict, you know, that we're not 100% in agreement with the words that are coming out of our mouth. And in the house of Yahweh, we have to become 100% in agreement with the doctrines of the house of Yahweh. And you know, as we work towards it, we have to make sure that our actions aren't saying something else, because it's our actions that really speak a lot louder than the words. Jacob 1:8, since we're on the page, he says, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Okay, so, you know, this training ground that we're in right now prepares us, you know, because we can't get away from this. If you turn back to Proverbs 24, I should have told you to hold your place there, but Proverbs 24, in verse 10. Now, we talked a little bit about this last week, but it's found on page 511. "If you falter in the day of adversity, your strength is very small." All right, if you falter in the day of adversity, your strength is very small. This is so important, you know, because obviously we know what the strength is in Romans 1:16. You know, you should have that probably side note, but you must study and practice. You must study and practice. And knowing that the answer is great, you know, but acting on it is really what's essential. You have to act on the information that you receive here. If you go to Romans 5, praise Yahweh, we'll get a little bit into it, because Romans, it shows us that it's not always the easy thing to act on this. You know, emotions and all these things, they get in the way, and we want to act out differently. But we're given plenty of opportunities
you call them tests or whatever, throughout the week, throughout the day, in order for us to put to practice the things that we learn here. So it's got to be fresh in our mind, and we got to be eager to put this into practice. But Romans 5, in verse 3, he says, and not only so, but let us also rejoice in our tribulation. Let us rejoice in our tribulation because we know that tribulation produces patience. Tribulation produces patience, and patience then develops into this maturity of character. You know, that's one of the things that you know, we wanted to get across with this topic of patience. You know, it's building something. You know, we have to allow Yahweh to allow us to be made in His image, you know. But once we reach that maturity of character, it also brings forth hope. And hope does not disappoint us because Yahweh has poured out His love into our minds and by this Spirit Holy which He has given to us. You know, the tribulation brings patience. So remember that we're being, remember what it is that we're being trained for. You know, some of the other speakers had mentioned, this is not the lowest position that we're training for in the house of Yahweh. If you turn over to Exodus, I kind of give you a visual picture here. Exodus 18. And that's found on page 60. Exodus 18. And look at... look at verse 19. He says, listen now to me, and I will give you sound advice, and may Yahweh be with you, but you must be the people's representative before Yahweh and bring their disputes to Him. Remember, this is being told to Moshe. And you shall teach them the ordinances and the laws, and you shall show them the way in which they should walk and the work that they must do. Moreover, you shall select all of the people, able men, such as reverence Yahweh, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place them as rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And in verse 22, and let them judge the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you. You have to understand the family that we're in is the family that is being trained to solve the difficult cases. You know, you will not be able to solve difficult cases without actively getting involved in the work of Yahweh and in the studies and then practicing these things. You know, because, you know, it's not like people are going to be coming here just to learn what day the Sabbath is. You know, all right, the Sabbath is on Saturday. All right, have a nice day. Thanks for coming, you know. We're being trained to be, as the priest before me was speaking, you know, a help, a blessing to those people, you know, but we can't expect to ever attain that without first putting into practice everything that we're learning ourselves, you know. So in Hebrews 12, I want to turn there real quick. It kind of gets a little bit further into this topic. Hebrews 12 and verse 11. On page 951, it says, now, no chastening seems to be joyful at the present time, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards, it produces the peaceable fruit of righteousness that is for those who have been trained by it. You know, and that's what's taking place here in the house of Yahweh, is we're actually being trained day in and day out. We have to be able to identify that. Otherwise, we just think, you know, what in the world is going on? Why is it that I have to go through all these difficult things? Well, you know, there's a purpose. This is a training ground, you know, and it's important that we learn this lesson, you know. But you can't hide from Yahweh. You know, remember that lesson from Yana. you can't hide from Yahweh. You can't hide your iniquity. These things are going to be brought out. You know, so this is what it said. If you falter in that day of adversity, it shows. It shows that you're lacking something. You know, and I always look at this because it's like whenever I speak about something, I know that I'm going to get tested in that area. You know, so I got to prepare myself. But even being prepared, it's like sometimes you fall. Sometimes you and then you look back and you say, wait a second, you know, how did this take place? how did I get here? You know,
you have to be aware. You have to be aware of the training that Yahweh is putting us through, you know, and be ready for it, to prepare yourself mentally in advance, you know. That's always harped on here in the house of Yahweh, is being prepared, you know, and being prepared, you're going to have to acquire a hatred for procrastination, you know, because procrastination is the mother of unpreparedness, you know, because there's always something that I'm going to put this off until later because I can do this now, you know. I've got plenty of time. Because I promise I'll get to this later. And then as time progresses, you never get around to it until the very last minute when you're trying to, you know, figure all this out and you know, act on it. Well, procrastination is something that we can be aware of. You know, it's something that we can be aware of and we can fight against right then when we realize it. When we have something to do, you know, we need to just get it out of the way and do it. It'll be one more thing accomplished and one less thing that you have to do later, because we don't know what's going to take place between now and then. You know, to a man belongs the plans of his mind, but Yahweh directs his steps. So we don't understand whether or not, you know, something's going to take place that's going to sabotage everything that we had planned for that day. You know, obviously, if you've been doing this for a while, you realize that's more common than not. You know, so when things come up, we need to go ahead and get them out of the way. And I speak of that especially with our overcoming, especially with our studies. Don't let studying be the thing that you do when everything else is out of the way. You know, it's the most important thing. It should be the beginning of your routine. You know, when you wake up, as one of the great deacons had mentioned a few weeks ago, that you physically speak that your blessings out of your mouth when you wake up in the morning, and you thank Yahweh for each and every day. You know, and in the same way, just follow that train of thought and get right into your studies. Get right into reading something, anything. I pray for that inspiration and let Yahweh inspire you, and let that be the way you start out a day. Because that's going to give you the advantage. That's going to stop you from getting in the middle of something, overreacting, and then wondering, how did I get here? You know, these things are very, very important to put into practice. Let's turn over to Titus real quick on page 940. We've heard a lot about this today, this kingdom that Yahweh is calling us into and what it takes to be a part of it. But in Titus 2, in verse 7, this is one of my most liked scriptures, because in doing this, remember, whenever you're talking to other people, you're talking to yourself. So you've heard this example in the world where, you know, I'm going to make an example out of that individual. You know, he did this wrong, so I'm going to make an example out of him or her, right? Let's see, in verse 7, in all things, setting yourself as the example for righteous works. Okay, so if that's your focus, to set yourself as the example, all right, your actions, your words, let them be in unity. Let your actions and your words be in unity. And let them be in unity with the house of Yahweh. Not your own thoughts, not your own actions, you know, but what you come here to learn. And of course, you can't come here to learn it. We can't come here to learn it if we're not actively engaged in the message that Yahweh is bringing us. You know, you'll always hear that. The priests say, you know, pay attention. We come here, we need to be ready to listen. And this is why it's so important to be here on time. It's so important that when the young priests get up here and speak, that you're done with your coffee. You know, we all love our treats in the morning. That's a great thing. But get here a little earlier to make sure that you got time to enjoy them, so that when the message is brought, your ears and your eyes and your focus are on Yahweh and not on your own works. Not on, you know, what's going on around you. This is going to help you tremendously, and it shows the reverence of Yahweh. You know, it shows by your actions that you value what Yahweh is bringing to your attention, that Yahweh is teaching you, you know. But in all things, setting yourself as the example for righteous works. You know, strive to be an example. When you're at work, strive to be the one that's doing things right. When everything goes on around you that's wrong, strive to be the one who will not allow it to continue to go wrong. Strive to be the one who stands up. In doctrine, in incorruptibility, in gravity, in sincerity, and in sound speech that cannot be condemned. You know, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say about you. Because, trust me, they're looking. They want to say something evil about us. They always want to say something evil about us. But we don't give them things to speak evil of us. You know, we're not going to give them that ammunition. Use your imagination, Satan, because we're not going to give you an actual reason to speak evil of us. You know, not in the house of Yahweh. We've been trained better. And when we fall, we get back up and we put to practice the things that we've learned here, setting ourself as the example in all these righteous works. So, you know, before you, I always say that, but before you go out and you're doing this wrong and you're doing that wrong, make sure that you can show them how to do it right. You know, because that's going to go a lot further. If you've ever been around children, you know, they watch actions. They watch actions, and they will try to use those actions to get out of doing things. They'll say, well, wait a second, no, you, because you did this, and you... Well, our actions have to be in unity with our words, and our words have to be in unity with what's taught here in the house of Yahweh. It's that simple. So, you know, we need to make an example of ourselves. In Hebrews, let's turn to Hebrews 5. Hebrews 5. And in verse 14, this is found on page 945. But strong meat belongs to those who are full grown. Now, these are the things that you know, we've been talking about. And what we're being trained for here in the house of Yahweh. But strong meat belongs to those who are full grown and those whose senses are trained by practice. By practice. So we have to put into practice everything that we've been trained and that we know here in the house of Yahweh to discern both righteousness and evil. So in Hebrews 3:6, I'm going to say that clock is just moving real quick. Hebrews 3:6 says, you know, the Messiah is a son over Yahweh's own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast to the confidence and the rejoicing of hope firm until the end. And that's what we have to do. You know, that's what we're here to do, brethren, is to hold fast to these things. Don't let yourself be distracted. You know, very shortly we'll all be rejoicing for that effort that we're putting in today. So if you all please stand. Praise God.